Josh Gackle, Gackle, from Cullom, North Dakota. Farmer there and director with the American Soybean Association. Just termed out of my chairman role, so
So
I'm still
past
on the board,
chairman,
but
technically.
past
Past
chairman,
chairman,
yes.
yeah.
Yes.
You testified this morning at the USTR about the enforcement of the phase one trade deal with China. What did you have to say to USTR?
Yeah, it was a we were first up in the morning on a panel, talking about impacts of phase one and trying to continue to get China to follow through to meet those commitments. It's a interagency process where there's the USTR Section 1 committee, and they have a committee chair, but they also had members on the panel from USDA, Small Business Administration, Department of Labor, I believe, Health and Human Services. So just a number of things that are included in that phase one agreement outside of agriculture. But the panel I was on to testify was the Seed Trade Association, and then Renewable Fuels Association, and then myself from American Soybean Association. And of course, I was focusing on, the negative effects we saw from the first trade war, but then appreciated seeing the phase one deal go into place. But yet China has not, they didn't live up to the full commitment under that phase one deal. So encouraging USTR to continue to pursue that, but also be careful as they negotiate with China. Again, any type of retaliatory tariffs that China would impose under a new negotiation that would affect U.S. soybean farmers, especially at this time when finances, margins in farm country are really tight, high input prices, low commodity prices. There's just a real the risk there in farm country is pretty serious if these negotiations don't go smoothly, I guess.
They summarized your comments as urging USTR to avoid repeating the mistakes of the last trade war and instead focus on enforcing existing commitments while keeping markets open to US soybean farmers. Does that mean, Josh, that from an ASA perspective, that you all are like, well, let's not worry about phase one, let's focus on this new trade agreement? Is that what that means?
Oh no, I think we're pretty. I mean, phase one is in the past, I guess, and I don't think that there's a mechanism where they can go back and meet commitments under phase one. But with this new Section 301 investigation that Ambassador Greer announced in October, looking to see if and how China made those commitments, and if they didn't, why not, and what remedies are available. So even though they won't go back and complete phase one, I think there's an opportunity here for USTR as they move forward with this current investigation. And then when you combine that with what was announced in October between the US and China on 12 million metric tons of soy purchases this year, with 25 million metric tons for the next 3 years after that, if you combine those two things together, just remember, doing what we can as U.S. ag negotiators to get China to meet the commitments they've made,
What did
both under phase one and then under these new agreements for 2025 and beyond.
does enforcement from an ASA perspective look like in this new deal?
Well, first of all, it's a timeline. I mean, there's some frustration in farm country and soybean producers specifically, because we were called out in those 12 million metric tons and the 25 after. The everything we heard from the White House and the administration when that announcement was made is that those 12 million metric tons are going to be purchased by the end of this calendar year. Well, already you see comments from Secretary Bessent and other administration officials that say, well, it may not be February until February or March when they meet the original 12 million metric tons. So, we're advocating, and it's our job as an association and farmers to just, hold their feet to the fire. And, when China commits to that, to try and keep them on that calendar and keep them on that pace, it's causing confusion and anxiety, not just on our farms, but when I talk to elevators and grain merchandisers back home who are seeing freight rates and basis levels jump all over the place because, there's announcements made, but then you don't know if there's really going to be the follow through on the purchasing end. So, certainty, like we say in everything, whether it's a farm bill or trade, but when you see announcements like this, providing the certainty to farmers and to the rest of the value chain that there's going to be follow through on that.
Well, and some of that, I'm sure, is probably even just seeing a final deal, right? And something signed. And we haven't seen that with with this recent trade agreement, right?
So the administration
could say, you know, hey, like, this was what we agreed on. And China could be like, no, not so much. You misunderstood that, right?
We've learned that from history as well. Yes. So, you know, what we say as farmers, and when we've been talking to each other, well, you know, I'll believe it when I see the ships being loaded and, you know, on their way to China. It's one thing to talk about commitments and potential purchases, but to actually make those buys and start moving those beans. I mean, we need the physical product to move in order to, again, provide the certainty that we're looking for. And hopefully then brings a little bit back, both into the futures market and the cash price that we're seeing on farms.
Was there anything else that you shared about the phase one trade deal enforcement that you think is important for us to keep in mind, or that really stands out to you as what would have maybe helped, helped U.S. agriculture, or I guess even the U.S. enforce that phase one deal that didn't happen?
Part of what we talked about is, you know, there's mechanisms within that phase one deal, and, you know, if they get to details on this next deal that was announced for the next few years, you know, there were off ramps, and I'm sorry, Kara, I'm probably not the best one to talk about the specifics, but there were off ramps for China to perhaps not make the full commitment if the price difference between U.S. beans and Brazilian beans was too great. So if U.S. beans were that so much more expensive, and I don't know the percentage, but so much more expensive than a certain Brazilian bean, then they wouldn't have to fully meet the commitments under phase one. So in our written testimony and in my verbal testimony, we talk a little bit about that, about how, you know, as you move forward, if you're going to do new negotiations, those, you may need to reconsider those off ramps for market prices if you're expecting China to fully meet the commitment they've made.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, they're really price sensitive, right? So they like to buy something
absolutely
that's good price,
yep.
And I think that's probably why it was in phase one. Yeah,
and they'll look for every opportunity, you know, to perhaps back out of a, you know, a tonnage commitment they've made or a value commitment when it comes to overall, you know, product value. So yeah, those off ramps are something for USTR to consider as they move forward.